We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shout out Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Of course, time's yours at 145 today. Get the calls in the time's yours line. Anything from today's show you want to react to. Dario back in Philly tonight. Covington hurt, but Dario back. You want to react to that as you watch it live. Again, Sixers and Flyers games. We get great Eagles in-game calls on the Times Yours line. We'd love moving forward to start getting more in-game and post-game Sixers and Flyers calls on the Times Yours line as well. So get them ready or just get them in the coming weeks. 215-625-6550, of course, for Times Yours. All right, let's go to the Swartz Carlton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. He has joined our program every Tuesday throughout the football season, typically at 12:45, kind enough to push it back a few minutes as that Doug and Howie press conference ran long. Wanted to get some calls in last hour, get calls in more this hour as well. But Mr. Ross Tucker joining us, wrapping up the season and looking ahead to the offseason. Hello, Ross.
Joe, what a day, man. I've been listening to you guys for a while.
How are you, buddy?
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm doing great, and I'm ready to chop it up.
Good. All right, so we'll get to the offseason in a moment, but let's just start with the game, Ross. First time to talk to you since the game. What'd you make of the Eagles' performance in New Orleans? Probably not too much new ground to cover, but what stood out to you and what's meaningful?
Well, I mean, I was on the sideline for the game. I was calling the game for Westwood One, and I was just so impressed in that environment that they were able to come out the way they did and get the 14-0 lead. I mean, think about the other three teams that, you know, were on the road, the underdogs.
Yep.
I mean, the Cowboys got run over, the Colts got destroyed, and the Chargers got embarrassed. I mean, that's what happened to the other three teams that were on the road. The Eagles did none of those. The Eagles were the only team that actually gave America a good game. And to get the 14-0 lead in that environment, I cannot even tell you guys how loud that place was. I had a buddy from Reading come down and crash in my hotel room. He got tickets. He agreed, loudest place I've ever been. I mean,
wow.
I had a headache the next day. It was my head was pulsing during the game. And for them to come in and Foles to drop the ball in the bucket to Matthews, to come right back down, very, very impressive, Joe. But it also makes the fact that they didn't get it done disappointing, because I was on the Saints sideline when it was 14-0, and I'm telling you, those guys looked like they saw a ghost. I mean, they you know, nobody was saying anything, but you know that look when they're kind of like, you know, they're the number one seed, they're the Super Bowl favorite, they're playing at home, and they were kind of like, what? I mean,
so
it was 14-0.
Let me ask you this: a major missed opportunity. What changed? I mean, we know they stopped scoring. What happened that led to the Eagles losing that game, in your opinion?
A series of single plays, Joe, that would have changed everything.
Yeah.
If so, I mean, by the way, when I was on the sideline, Joe, and they're freaking out, that was when Breeze like fumbled a snap and then got delay a game. I mean, they were like, they were freaking out over there. And you think about this: if Brandon Graham just falls on the ball, Eagles get at least a field goal at 17-0, right?
Yep.
So think about that. Then the Foles pick was obviously bad, but the Eagles stop them. The fake punt was devastating. That was a huge factor in the game. We know that. And then I'll tell you the other thing that really, the other two things that bothered me about the game. One was both times Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox came out and Hawkins went in, they went right at him. I mean, they went right at him. One was a touchdown on fourth down. Yeah. And one was a 3rd and 13. Two of the biggest plays in the game, they went right. Avante Maddox was only out for a couple plays. Boom, right to Hawkins. Rasul Douglas out. Boom, touchdown. That's fourth down, Joe. I mean, if Rasul's in and doesn't bite on the pump fake to Kirkwood, maybe he makes the play on the goal line. It's just, you know, what's frustrating is they went toe-to-toe with what I think is the best team in the NFL. I mean, I'm standing there on the sideline. I'm reporting Fletcher Cox is sprinting back out on the field. His two plays after he sprinted out on the field are the craziest thing I've ever seen. He lifts Andrews Pete up in the air and throws a 342-pound dude back to the point where he has to pull him down for a holding penalty. Then the next play, he left arm clubs him out of the way. Unger, the center, comes over. It's a slide to him double team. He clubs Unger. Fletcher Cox is my idol. I mean, those were his first two plays after he sprinted out of the locker room like freaking Willis Reed. It was unbelievable.
So it was a foot, right?
Yeah, it was a foot injury. He probably went and got it shot up or something, yeah, or just taped up, or I don't know. But the Hawkins thing bothers me. The fake punt bothers me. You know, I'm not even here to talk about the Alshon drop. Whatever. We could talk about whether they should have ran the two-minute play. I guess my point is, Joe, is unlike, you know, there's two ways to look at it in life, right? It was a terrific season by the Eagles to come back. I'm so impressed by Roseman and Peterson and their culture and the guys on that team. But there's still part of me, because I was there, they really, really could have won that game. Now, do I think the Saints are probably a little bit better? Yeah, they're playing at home. Do I think Breeze is a little bit better than Foles for sure? Absolutely, and he was in that game. And guess what? Not only that, the Saints were a little bit healthier. So the little bit better, little bit healthier, with a little bit better quarterback, one at home, that's probably the way it should be, Joe. But man, oh man. I mean, any of those plays I just said,
yep,
any of those situations, Eagles might have won the game.
Did the Saints do anything defensively that made Nick look worse, or did Nick just play worse?
I didn't notice anything. I mean, he missed some throws. I mean, the one to Jordan Matthews was like, I don't know what happened there. It didn't feel like they were getting all that much more pressure on him. I thought the offensive line pass protected extremely well, especially when you consider you lose Brandon Brooks to a torn Achilles. I thought the O-line held up well. I mean, he got hit a couple times, but I thought Foles did not play as well. They got behind the chains a couple times, and it ended up costing him. He went cold, and they were not good after he went cold.
All right, Ross Tucker with us, Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 888-729-9494. All right, we'll get Ross's thoughts on the quarterback situation, strategy up ahead. Let's go to the phones right now. Talk to Chris, who joins us. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
What's up, Chris?
All right, let's go to Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Cameron, how you doing, son?
Hey, Dennis.
You know, I finally think that the quarterback thing has been cleared up, and I, you know, after hearing Carson this morning, it sounds like Nick is in the back of his mind a little bit. What do you think about that?
Nick's in the back of whose mind, Carson?
Yes.
Well, he might be in the front of his mind. I mean, he might be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, and Carson Wentz got to stand on his own 2 feet, and Joe Montana dealt with Steve Young and won 2 Super Bowls thereafter, and you know, then the 49ers moved to Steve Young, and they won another Super Bowl. I mean,
you talking about the fact that Carson said, you know, hey, he's got, you know, big shoes to fill. He hasn't even, you know, had a playoff game under his belt yet, sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not going away. That will exist forever until Carson, well, even after Carson achieves something similar to what Nick has.
And that's my next point. You know, that is so much in the front, as Joe says, of his mind and not the back. I think he's going to come out again and, you know, he's been listening to the radio or reading the words of wisdom of all the writers and whatnot. He knows that the city loves Nick Foles, and there's a lot of reasons because of his success. He knows he's got to come out, and I think he's going to press again like he did this year.
And are you saying that regardless of whether Foles is here or not?
Yes.
See, that's an interesting point, Dennis. I haven't brought that up, but it is an interesting point. I mean, people are saying that it becomes easier on Wentz if Foles is gone, and maybe that's true. But I mean,
I don't think so.
But the reality is, you know, Wentz is still going to be under a hell of a microscope even without Foles.
He will
but
be
it's definitely
about
true.
Foles until he wins something. And he even said, look, I haven't played a significant game. I haven't played a playoff game. You know, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I have a Carson Wentz jersey, and I only have one other Eagle, and that's Brian Dawkins. So I'm a Carson Wentz guy, but this is going to haunt him, and I don't know if he's ever going to win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Well, we'll say, all right, Dennis, who goes by one name?
How about Houdini?
Houdini's a great answer. All right, Russ, let's get you on the record here. Season's over. We're all kind of formulating our opinions and what we think the Eagles' strategy should be. Eagles haven't tipped their hands on strategy, but, you know, some, you know, we heard what Doug and Howie had to say. Where do you stand, Ross, on wanting Foles back, not wanting him back, franchising him, not franchising him, franchise to keep him, franchise to trade him, just let him go, clear the way for Carson? Where do you stand?
So the only way the Eagles are going to be able to keep Nick Foles is if they franchise tag him.
Correct.
So, and they've already made it very clear that Carson Wentz is their starting quarterback. They all said that. Peterson said that. So, and I was listening to you, Joe. Mm-hmm. So you are willing to have Nick Foles as a $25, $26 million backup quarterback?
That is correct. I would have no problem trading him if I get, you know, the great offer. But yes, I am willing to have a lesser roster next year so that I have what I would refer to as quarterback insurance for 2020, essentially to use 2019 as a prove-it year for Carson Wentz, to me, if I'm the Eagles, both for his health, that he can reestablish health and reestablish effectiveness. I'm keeping Foles in the fold so that if Wentz does not prove those two things, I can go to Carson, I can go to Nick Foles in 2020 if I feel like I need to.
So maybe, because then you'd have to either give him a huge money extension that says he's the guy, or you'd have to franchise tag him for a second year in a row.
Correct. And obviously I would not want to have to franchise him again. You'd be talking at that point about hopefully getting to a new contract. Listen, Foles would still only be 31, so he's got years up ahead. I do believe in Foles. I think everyone knows I believe in Foles. I want, Ross, my whole thing here is predicated on I want Carson to be the guy. But I want him to prove it. This isn't Little League Baseball. Everyone gets a trophy at the end of the season. This is Big League freaking football. This is, dude.
You want him to prove performance, or you want to prove health?
Both. All I'm saying is go prove it, and you go prove it, and the other guy's gone. But unless you prove it, I'm keeping the other guy.
And Joe, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's outlandish. I don't think it's crazy. I obviously $26 million for a backup quarterback, because Foles has been very clear. I mean, he talks in the past tense when he talks about the Eagles.
Yep.
He talks about how free agency is very important. He does not want to be a backup. He does not want to be there. So what we're talking about then, just so we're clear about this,
yep,
we're talking about $26 million for a backup quarterback. And by the way, the Eagles already have the smallest amount of cap room in the league. They're over the cap by $12 million, which is they're in the worst cap situation right now. You know, there's things they can do.
Of
but
course.
Right now, they are 32 out of 32 going in. So $26 million for a backup quarterback to make them both unhappy. Because Wentz isn't going to be happy, because I know what the caller just said, and he's right. There will always be the ghost of Nick Foles hanging over Carson Wentz until he wins a Super Bowl. But guess what? The ghost of Nick Foles is more tenable than actual Nick Foles, the dude, still being there over his shoulder. So everything you're saying makes sense, Joe. It's by far the most important position, and you're willing to sacrifice 2019 in order to make sure that the Eagles have the right quarterback from 2020 to 2025.
That's exactly correct. It's insurance, Ross. Ross, you know what it is? I don't like paying for my car insurance. I don't enjoy paying medical insurance. Obviously, John and I have a job here. We're fortunate, you know, through the radio station, you know, quality insurance. Of course, you pay into it a bit. I don't like making those payments. But I accept the reality that it helps my life. If I get in a car accident, if I have to go to the hospital, I have insurance for it. Yes, I am saying as crystal clear as I can that I am willing for the Eagles to lose some players that I otherwise would prefer they have, to lose some players to have a lesser roster in 2019 because at the preeminent position in all of professional sports, quarterback of an NFL team, I'm going to have a dual quarterback strategy allowing one to prove it in 2019, and if he doesn't, I can go to the other one in 2020 and beyond.
Okay, so here's the thing I would say, though. You're not putting either one of those guys in a position to succeed because the roster will necessarily be worse, and I would argue maybe significantly worse than it was this year. And both of those guys will be in a very uncomfortable position.
Yes, they will.
Every time they take the field, knowing that one bad throw, one bad whatever is hanging over their shoulders.
No, I understand.
You can do it.
Yep.
But I think I would argue if there was no injury concern with Wentz, I would say that this is ludicrous.
Oh, I wouldn't even be doing it if there's no injury. I wouldn't even be thinking of it. But the injury thing is real, Ross. High school, college, pro. The guy gets hurt a lot. And we don't
Nick
know it.
Nick Foles has gotten hurt a lot.
I know.
But here's the flip side, too, Joe. Let me play devil's advocate, okay?
Go ahead.
You move on from Foles, you actually clear up a lot of cap space.
True.
$20 million worth of cap space.
Yeah.
If you move on from Foles. And what do we think the teams need to do today in the NFL? It's very helpful when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yep.
And you, Joe, do not want to give the Eagles a chance to win the Super Bowl next year. Whereas if you move on from Foles, you are giving the Eagles a terrific chance to win the Super Bowl next year. And you have Wentz for the option in 2020 if you want to, or you give him a new contract. Because, by the way, you could have it play out with Wentz and see how he does. And if he gets hurt again or isn't the guy, then you have to go to a quarterback market, which, by the way, at least as far as the draft is concerned, looks pretty darn good in 2020 and 2021.
I'll just say this. I'm no expert on all that stuff. Obviously, Tua and the Clemson guy and all that. But, I mean, the Eagles probably aren't going to be bad enough to be picking those guys. And the last thing, Ross, the last thing I want to think about as an Eagles fan is going from 2 to 0. I mean, you're talking about now accepting the reality that you might go from 2 quarterbacks to 0. To me, that is just nonsensical. But, you know.
Well, I think it's highly, highly unlikely.
It is.
I
mean, it is highly unlikely.
There's some percentage chance, but highly unlikely.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't do it, but I get it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Brandon in Lansdowne. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, Ross with us as well. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, Ross?
What's up, Brandon?
Joe, you're killing me, Joe. Like, every time I try to give you the benefit of the doubt. Man, I actually like you. You've grown on me.
Thanks, buddy.
But this, idea to keep two quarterbacks and hold up that much and tie that much of the cap space is crazy. Let me tell you why. I'm going to try to get through this real quick because I know, you know, we're coming to the end of the show. You got another caller.
Go ahead.
One, what I think that will do is that'll put pressure on the organization to draft better. Why would it put pressure on the organization to draft better? We're not going to have any money. We're going to lose players.
Yep.
So now they have to go into the draft, and not only do they have to hit on the guys in the first, the second, and third round, now you have to start hitting on the guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round, undrafted free agents. We know stuff like that doesn't happen in the NFL, so it puts more pressure on them. Another thing, especially, like I heard Ross talk about how the team will be drastically different. One position in particular where the team will be drastically different at is the offensive line. So if the offensive line is not where it's supposed to be, these guys are going to be taking hits. Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, they both could get injured. And now we don't know if they're injury-prone or not because we drastically changed the offensive line to protect them. So I don't think, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that part does worry me, and I certainly would want that to be the spot that they, in their more limited resources, put a premium on. Look, let me just say this. My strategy could involve no re-signing of Darby. You go with the young corners. It could involve not bringing Roddy McLeod back and having Avante Maddox play safety. Mm-hmm. It could certainly involve not having Golden Tate back. Like, I understand it. There's trade-offs here. I would say it could involve not having Brandon Graham back. But to the extent that you control what you can, I would tell you that I would put a premium putting the other money into the line. I do think that's very important.
Got you. Now, this is my last point. I'll give you my name.
Go ahead.
Like, you're talking about taking a risk at, you know, just this one year.
Yep.
Right. And we're gonna drop off all this talent, and we're gonna drop off the core on both offensive and on the offensive side and the defensive side. Football isn't like that. It's not like that. You can get rid of, you know, certain players on both sides of the ball, and then now in 2020 we can just pick it back up as if there's no, you know, ramifications from carrying two quarterbacks. So, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of scared.
I don't know. No, Brad, I'll tell you why I disagree. If you eliminate the full salary in 2020 and you didn't have all those other guys under contract, no, you got a lot of money to spend in 2020.
We don't want to spend money, though. Like, how we want to do it is, ideally, you know, we want to supplement through free agency, but we want to be able to, you know what I'm saying, draft well, too. Yeah. So, like, you know what I mean? We can spend money, and it could end up like the Rams. The Rams did okay this year, but we can also spend money and end up like the Dream Team.
No, that's fair. So, all right, Brandon, it's a great point. Who goes by one name?
I had a couple, but I'm going to just go with one. My favorite rapper of all, my man Nas.
All right, you got it, man. Yeah. Outstanding good phone answer. Call by Brandon right there. Outstanding call. Like, here's another thing I would say. The Eagles are heading into big quarterback money soon anyway. I mean, I think for the most part we can agree, whether it's in 2020 or 2019, they're going to start spending massive amounts of the money, salary cap-wise, on a quarterback. I mean, John Ross, we're on the same page there, right? It starts either in 2 months or
hopefully
14 months. Right. So, I mean,
I want one of the guys. I mean, I want Wentz to play that well, or theoretically in your example, Foles, but I want them to play that well that, yes, they give him the big money and they feel good about it.
All right, so, Ross, let me ask you this, because John and I are actually on the same page on one part, not on the other. So I'm saying franchise Foles, for those just tuning in. What I'm basically saying is franchise Foles, either to trade him for a massive mega offer or to keep him and very comfortably be happy having him as a backup as insurance for Wentz 2020 and beyond. John is saying, read the market. If you feel the market is there for Foles, and I think we generally feel like it will be trade-wise, franchise Foles, basically purely to trade him. Okay, that's another. Ross, where do you stand? We haven't heard, though, would you franchise him or not franchise him?
I probably would not franchise him. I don't think that market's going to be as strong as you think it is if you franchise him. Because if you're Nick Foles, why would you agree? You're not going to agree to a contract extension with a specific team. He wants free agency. So if you're a team trading, Nick wants to be able to choose where he goes. So if you're a team trying to trade for Foles, you're only trading for 1 year and $26 million?
Well, it is predicated, in my mind, on a new deal with whichever team he goes to. But I agree with you.
Okay, hold on a second, Joe. Why would Nick Foles – so first of all, why would Nick Foles do that? And how does it benefit Nick Foles if the Eagles get a boatload of draft picks? So the team he's going on, it's finally going to be his team – and he's going to get this 4 or 5 year deal to try to be the guy in Jacksonville. Why would he want to rob his new team of draft picks like that? He doesn't need to do that. Nick controls it. Nick can just say, I'm not signing a contract extension with anybody. And so how much are you really going to trade for Nick Foles for just 1 year? The answer is, I don't think that much. I don't think you're going to trade that much when you could get Joe Flacco, who's under contract for 3 more years, at like $22 million a year. I don't think you're trading that much. You can get Dwayne Haskins, maybe Kyler Murray. I don't know. I don't think you're trading that much for 1 year of Foles at 26. I don't think Foles is going to play ball with the Eagles in that way. And so I think that puts you in a bad spot. I think the only reason you would franchise him then, Joe, is if it was that important to you that he did not go to the Redskins or to the Giants.
That's in my mind also, by the way.
And you would want to trade him to the Jags or the Dolphins for, let's just say, for argument's sake, a fifth or sixth round pick, which, by the way, is less than what you'll get if you just let him go in free agency, because then you'll get a third-round comp pick.
Yeah.
So it's less than you get. But you would be taking less for the right to make sure he's not in the NFC East.
Yeah, it's well laid out, Ross. I mean, what you're saying makes some sense there. It almost reminds me of an NBA thing, where an NBA player's got like a year left on his deal and the team might trade him, but you know the player basically can narrow the
exactly.
list so dramatically who he goes to on the basis of stomping his feet and saying, well, I won't sign with you long term. Jay in Buckingham. Jay, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going great, Jay.
Good. What's up?
That's great. So the way I kind of look at the whole Foles once thing, and I kind of look at Joe's concept as kind of ridiculous, is I'm not willing to take the roster hit because as I look at the conference in general, the Chicago Bears are going to be a force to be reckoned with next season, as are the Saints. And I believe we're still going to have to compete with the Cowboys going forward because they're only getting better. And then you also have the Rams and even the Atlanta Falcons, who also are going to be tougher next year with getting their guys back. And I feel like you need the window to be able to compete with those other teams.
Well, yeah, you're looking at just next year. I mean, I'm kind of looking beyond. But, yes, I understand there's some good teams in the conference. Look, we'll see what happens with the Rams once Goff gets his deal, which could happen after this year.
No, I absolutely agree with that. But I just think you kind of have to go in the win-now mood. As well.
And you know what I like about what he's saying, Joe? And I don't think if you look at the Eagles core, Joe, are you really willing to sacrifice a year with these guys in their prime? You know, Lane mm-hmm. Johnson, Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox. Are you really willing to sacrifice a year with these guys in their prime and Carson on his rookie deal for that 2020 and beyond insurance? Because I'm just saying, look at all of the runs that teams have gone on, the championship runs. How long does it really last? I mean, the Cowboys, yeah. the Patriots and Cowboys both won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. The Seattle thing really lasted 4 years. Well, if you look, this is at least year 3 of that run for this group. So they only have 2019, maybe 2020, maybe 2021 if we're really lucky. But odds are Kelce retires then, well before then. Who knows if Brooks is the same guy after the Achilles, Lane. And I am not willing to sacrifice 2019. I want to win the Super Bowl in 2019.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
Jay, who goes by one name, Jay?
I think John might actually appreciate this one since he's a music lover, but I think I'd have to go with Flea.
Nice.
That's a good answer.
Nice.
It's a real good answer right there. All right, let's talk to Darren in South Philly. What's up, Darren?
What's up, fellas?
Hi, Darren.
I don't want to talk Eagles. I'm, like, happy football season is over because now I could talk about my favorite sport, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think of the fact that we left the meeting without Harper getting a contract, and do you expect Harper to have a contract by tomorrow, and do we expect the big homie to get a standing O when he hits the court tonight?
Well, Sarge is going to get a great ovation.
Sarge?
Yeah, him too.
You know, the Harper thing, it's a great feeling knowing that we're the front runners. I think Joe and I both feel like we'd prefer him to Machado, but Machado may be a better fit for the Phillies. And, you know, nothing's been decided. I feel like we've made no movement on this whole Harper-Machado front, but I'm excited because I do believe that we will get one of these guys. And Dario and Robert Covington, it's going to be fascinating tonight because we know that Dario, you know, when he was informed of the trade sending him to the Timberwolves, apparently things got very emotional. Like he was really upset, which is what you'd kind of expect from Dario.
Totally.
You know, like a guy who gave everything to this team. He has said, you know, Philly was my first home. It always will be. I didn't ask to be traded. I wanted to stay. I think it's going to be really cool to see him back and embraced by the fans, embraced by his former teammates. Robert Covington was a little bit less emotional about it and sort of ticked off about it. So that will be entertaining as well to see how he deals with the scenario, although he's probably not playing with an ankle injury anyway. I'm assuming he'll make the trip. But, you know, seeing Dario on the court is going to be really cool because I'll always be a fan.
Different uniform, though.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I hope Dario is in early season form against us. You know, the last couple of years, Dario has found his stroke late in the year, and he was, you know, the guy I most wanted to be shooting threes in critical situations. I hope he's not to that point.
Make me be upset that we don't have him anymore. Come on, Joe. I mean, come on, Richie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We can be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we
in
all,
early season form.
I mean, Darren,
we
all love Dario. I mean, Jimmy Butler's a better player, and it's why I thought the trade was a good trade. But you know, we love
that
Dario.
Is true.
Yeah, Darren, give me someone who goes by one name.
The Hammer.
Well, it's kind of two names, isn't it?
No. It's an article and a name.
I might start going with this Hammer. What do they call these things? Emoji on the phone. Is that what it is? That's the right term. I mean.
I'm
started.
Now?
I did it with you guys last Friday when the Hammer got.
Did
to
you
8
just
and 8.
Discover emojis last Friday?
No, I've known emojis. Them, but I get these terms a lot confused. Okay, so it's an emoji.
Yeah, they just made a movie.
Why were you sending us Hammer after Hammer then?
To gloat.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, very simple. So
then, why didn't you send us Hammer after Hammer previously?
I didn't know I had the hammer in my thing, in my phone.
So you did just discover emojis last Friday.
No, I knew. I never went all the way to the far right of my emoji section. There's a hammer. I've seen people.
So
people
my point is you discovered the hammer emoji last Friday.
Yeah, because I've seen people put it up on Twitter. I'm always like, where do all these people get this hammer thing on Twitter? And so I thought, well, hell, maybe I should look for it. So now, no, I've actually started this because, you know, sometimes, you know, you text with people and they'll be like, you know, is 8 o'clock good? And I'll give like an okay or a thumbs
you
up.
You love the thumbs up.
That's right. So but
way too much thumbs up from you.
Well, thumbs up also is my way of just ending the conversation. That's when I don't really, because there's no response to thumbs
I think it's
up.
It's very clear. Yes.
Yeah, that's my way of just ending the conversation with an affirmative.
Because you're so popular and you have so many texts coming through. So, you just got to find a way to end it.
Yeah.
So, Ross.
I am not.
So, Ross, my new thing, instead of going thumbs up, my new affirmative is just going to be the hammer. To my family, my friends, whoever texts me, I'm just going to give them a hammer back.
Okay.
And that's
going to
be like
I like it, but can I back you up on some small way, Joe?
Sure.
I only recently discovered that you can search for emojis.
Ooh.
So, like, if I was looking for, like, the thumbs up or something, or any, whatever it is, right? I'd scroll through on my phone all these. Where is it?
Wow.
Where's the stupid thumbs up? Now I realize they have this like search box, and the same thing with for GIFs or GIFs, whatever you call them.
Yep.
And you can just type in like shocked or no way or whatever, and they'll pop up with examples.
Wow.
Yep. I used to give up. I used to be like, I wanted to do like, I don't know, like an apple emoji or something. I'd scroll through all the fruit and I'd see every fruit other than apple. I finally realized you can just search.
Wow. Some real old man radio we got going.
Yes,
right
indeed.
Now.
It's good work. All right, two quick notes and right back to the phones. Congratulations. We haven't mentioned it yet, but congrats to the great Mark Zumoff, one of the great people in Philadelphia sports, wonderful human being, tremendous announcer, 25 years with the 76ers. Team's going to honor Zoo tonight.
The
so.
Best.
Jimmy, you worked under Mark, right?
I spotted for Zumoff a little bit. I did some work with Mark. Mark is maybe among the nicest people you will ever meet.
Oh, he is.
Amongst. Certainly in this business and amongst the nicest you'll ever meet.
Tremendous person, great announcer. So congrats to Zumoff, 25 years. Sixers honoring him tonight. And also, back to Darren's phone call when he asked about Harper Machado. So how about this, John? Jason Stark earlier today, this afternoon, tweeted to follow. And I was referencing Matt Gelb, of course, reporter, Ken Rosenthal reporter. He says, Jason Stark with The Athletic says this on Twitter, what Matt, Ken, and I have heard consistently this week is that the Harper Machado Derby could drift into February.
It's testing our patience.
It is ridiculous.
It's a problem for Major League Baseball.
It is a problem for Major League. I have talked many times about the many things Major League Baseball doesn't have a handle on, and this is one that I really wasn't aware of.
Wait. Why is this a problem?
It's a problem because it's nonsense. It's silly. When it goes on for four.
Hold on a second. Joe.
Yeah.
We have been talking about baseball.
Yeah, but it's a
throughout football season.
But it's a lack of concentration.
I know it's a lack of concentration. I get it, but
it's
not just a segment
about baseball. It's you know, it's long and drawn out. Like NBA's free agency is a big deal. NFL's free agency is a big deal. Major League Baseball drifts out. I mean, these are the two top guys in the market.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, Ross.
But James, baseball is more of a regional thing, and the teams that are involved in these guys, it's been a topic on New York radio, Washington radio, Philadelphia radio,
you're right.
Chicago radio. At least, look, I come on for NFL, for Eagles, for an hour on Tuesdays, and every week for like the last 7 weeks, at least one person has called about Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. You know what baseball would pay for that? To actually have people during football season every day, every week, talking about something related to baseball?
I'll buy that. But I think it's a good point, but I will give you a flip side. And this is me, the Phillies fan. Harper or Machado, whoever walks through the door, walks in, to me as a Phillies fan, with a bigger bullseye than they would have had if they signed right away. I am ticked off that two guys that are each about to get 300 or 300 plus million, it's taking them 3 or 4 months to choose whether they want to play here.
Also,
that bothers me, Ross.
Also, they're two unique generational free agents. The normal MLB free agency, it's like people aren't talking about J.D. Martinez as the top free agent for months. The problem is this is a unique scenario where they're talking about these guys. For the most part, it's an issue for Major League Baseball that people don't care about free agency.
And
I agree,
Joe, I actually, you don't know this, I actually know Bryce a little bit.
Yep.
And I texted him, and he said he's been offered $350 million, but he's really worried about the Joe DeCamera bullseye. Really, really worried about it.
I see.
The Phillies have offered him $400 million over 14 years, but I just don't know, because since I waited this long, I'm going to have the Joe DeCamera bullseye on me. And so that's the only thing that's holding it up right now, Joe,
listen,
just so you know.
That's fair. Is this breaking? Should we hit the breaking news sounder, Ross? are you divulging actual information? I think some sarcasm there. Let's turn to, but you know, you guys know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I'm not the only person that feels
annoying. It's annoying is what it is.
Because you know what it also is, Ross? You're going to hear a press conference where he's going to talk about how much he wanted to be here. It's inauthentic. I'm serious about that. We're going to hear a press conference about how much he wanted to be here, and it's not real. That bothers me. Let's turn to, quickly, who goes by one name? Let's move fast here. Returning to Rich and Kennett Square. Rich, who goes by one name?
Hey, sorry about that, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was working on the horn there during the intermission here.
Sure.
Listen, by the way, first time call. I really appreciate
it. Hey, Rich, quick. We are turning to, though, so we're moving fast here. We're looking for who goes by one name.
Okay, well, I got one for Joe here. Leslie Lawson.
Who's that?
She's in the 70s. She's a celebrity. Great looking. Probably one that that John would like. Twiggy.
Oh, okay.
Good work.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to Mark in Haverford. Mark, who goes by one name?
Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Good soccer's man. Got a whole bunch of them. And Raji in Delaware. Raji, who goes by one name?
Hey, how about Shakira?
No, Shakira's another good
nice
one. There you go. Ross, give me someone who goes by one name.
Well, I'm going to drop the mic. There's only one person I could say at this point.
Ross?
The most overrated musician ever.
Bingo.
Prince.
There you go.
Prince. Boom. How do you like that, Seltzer?
I already said it, Ross.
How do you like that, Seltzer?
How do you feel knowing that you and Joe are of
one you're aligned
line.
With Joe.
You are in accord.
Well done.
When Joe is right, I agree with him. That's how it works. I had Joe's back on the searching emoji thing.
Thank you.
Every once in a while, Joe is good.
All right, so Ross, that's two thank yous. Let's give Ross a third thank you for a great season of Eagles coverage here on WIP with Ross every Tuesday for an hour. Ross, we're touching base
Ross.
With you in the off season, but we do appreciate the week by week every Tuesday with the program, man. We look forward to it again next year.
Absolutely. See you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, there he is, the great Ross Tucker. Follow him, Twitter, Ross Tucker Podcast, the whole deal. Time's yours. on a Tuesday afternoon. Coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.